Well, I remember growing up, it was always quite something when my parents trusted me to do something. That was always a big deal. And I remember very distinctly, 16 years of age, and I don't recommend this, I got my license. And my poor kids had to wait to 18. I knew myself, so I figured there were probably chips off the old block, so we'd wait till 18. But anyway, I got my license, and my dad was careful with me, of course. We still lived in our city location. Market Manor had moved out to the suburbs. We hadn't moved out there yet, so it's about 30 minutes out to the church. And I'll never forget the day that my dad told me that I could drive my baby sister to an activity that she was in, and he was going to trust me to take his car 30 minutes in Chicago all the way out to the suburbs. And he wouldn't let me get on the expressway. Now that I look back, that was the easier way to go. Do you know what it's like not going on the expressway, going from 60th in California all the way to Downers Grove? That was quite a challenge. But anyway, I remember that day. By the way, my baby sister is Mrs. Gilmore, so I'll never forget getting her there in the car, and we did it, and I really felt like a man. I did, and thankfully, everything went well, and I survived that. There's nothing like stewarding someone else's possessions and that which is important to the Lord. And it's very important for us to realize, folks, that God has given us as believers, and then uniquely, even in the opportunity that we have together here collectively, He's given us a wonderful stewardship of opportunity that we do not want to miss. You know, it's very easy to take the stewardship of life, to take the stewardship of opportunity, and just let it go by. A man was out for a stroll and came on another man digging a ditch. When he asked the man why, the digger said, "I dig the ditch to make money, to buy food, to give me strength to dig the ditch." Which was a very good statement about what life is about without a purpose for God and an understanding of stewardship. A meaningless cycle. Think about it. Another writer said, "I've lived long enough to know how fleeting are our days on earth. If a person lives to be 70 years old, that's only 840 months. Depressing, isn't it? In light of eternity, that's hardly long enough to measure, just a passing glimpse. And yet, I think as we go into the millions of years of eternity, these few months here on this globe, we're going to realize how important a stewardship it really was. And we're still here. Aren't you glad we have opportunity to serve the Lord? We don't have to just look back and wish. We still have life to live for God. Turn with me to a very important passage in this regard, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we find a parable here that's at first glance, a confusing parable, but one that gives a very poignant truth. And that's usually the way the Lord would do it with parables that were confusing, like the unjust judge, how that the widow had to keep coming to the with importunate pleas to this unjust judge, and yet we learn a great truth about prayer from that. But here we see an unjust steward, and if we look at it closely, we'll see that it is a very straightforward revelation of one of God's people who is not handling the stewardship of life and ministry as they ought. And we have here God's perspective, which is a bit stirring when you think about it. So look with me, if you would, at verse 1. "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." So here we have the story of an unjust steward. And so let's look first of all at this matter of being faithful to the Lord and what life is all about, the matter of human perspective, the human perspective that we often get. And that's what we see represented in these two verses. As I've already mentioned, we're all stewards. We're managers of what God has given us. Now, most of us understand the definition of a steward, but let me go back to the biblical world. A steward was a slave. Joseph, the son of Jacob, was a steward. He was sold to Potiphar as a slave, but he became steward of his entire estate, which meant that he was in charge of everything that Potiphar had, all of the wealth, the goods. The whole organization was under his leadership. He would give account, of course, to his master, but in reality, he was still a slave, and he owned none of it. And yet he was able to enjoy the great privilege of being in that place of leadership. That's what a steward was. Abraham had a steward, and so on. And so we are stewards. Our very body, our breath, our abilities, of course, our spiritual giftings, we easily see that's from the Lord. But every aspect of our life, our ability to make money and the resources that God has given to us, all of those are God's. We are but managers of our lives. And frankly, we have to constantly have to come back to that reality and say, Lord, that's right. This is not about me. You know, all of the different words that start with self, selfishness, self-centeredness, it all gets down to that sin that goes back to the garden, as we've been hearing about, where Adam and Eve decided to do what they wanted so they could be like God, and they did not follow the leadership of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they took what was not theirs. And so anytime we handle our body, our life, or our means in a way that's outside of the will of God, we've stolen from God. It's a pretty sobering concept. I think if we really meditated on the concept of stewardship, it would be very, very helpful. And here in this case, this steward had to give an account for his stewardship. We certainly will. Now, we've got to understand that nothing is our own. 1 Corinthians 6, we often think of that. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we know that, but here we see this steward was accused of wasting. It doesn't say stealing. Could be, but that's not what it says. It says wasting. And I want you to realize, as I've had to meditate on this myself, this is God the Son, giving us his perspective on what he feels about the life, the breath, the strength, and the means that he has given to us, and how grieved he is if we waste it. You see, we're wasting divine provision. And so it's very important, as we talked about this morning, to know God's will, to walk with God, to be fully dedicated, to allow the Spirit of God to illumine us, and not to manage our resources outside of biblical priorities. As Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Sounds like we're in the month of January, doesn't it? Stewardship, great concept. But I want to go further here, because this whole concept of stewardship is vital for us to look at our lives right now. We're in a very unique time. We've referred to this over and over in these months. But how are we going to live now? How are we going to view our lives? Are we going to continue to go on with partial ownership of our lives and sort of giving our lives to God? Or are we going to realize that we're at a very critical time and God is looking for people that do not waste their lives? And the only way that's going to happen is for us to get rid of the human perspective that this is ours, but to get to the divine perspective that it is God's, which is an eternal perspective. And so let me give the background here, if you'll go with me now to verse 3 of chapter 16 here. "Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed." I mean, he was in trouble. I am resolved what to do. I know what I'm going to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. He's going from a very high-level job to being jobless with no welfare, okay? So he is looking out for his future. Such an unusual story here. He said, I know what I'm going to do. And this is going to be how I'm going to be guaranteed that I'm going to have friends in the future. I'm going to have people that will help me. I'm going to have new opportunities. I'm going to have a new road that'll mean something. So what's he going to do? Well, here's what he did in verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much thou owest unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. Now what was going on here? Because we're going to see that the Lord, the master of the house, commended the unjust steward. Now we see that he's unjust. He's wasteful, but he's also not thinking fully correctly. But in the ways of the world, he's very wise. Because what's he doing? He's looking at the future. He is taking care of the future. He is willing to give up something now so he can gain something later. That's the point of this parable. Now, not knowing the background of how a steward would work with his master, sometimes we can miss what the point is here. Built into the system was there would be a certain amount or commodity of something that a creditor would owe the master for whatever goods exchange that they had. And so there was built into it a service fee. In other words, the steward would build into it. Now, it wasn't legal according to Jewish law, but they would be able to hide. It happened all the time. And so there was this fee that was built in to the amount that is owed the master. And so when those funds were collected over the period of time, that cut would go into the pocket of the steward so he could have some of his own private money. And that's how they would operate if they were unjust. Now, the master could never be held into account for it, because if it was done by the steward according to the law, then that was the steward was the one that would be culpable for the offense. And so we see here in verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, what was so wise about this? Well, first of all, by giving up the part that was for him, he was investing in the future. He was making a friend of these high-level creditors of his master, and he was getting them to have a sense of owing him something, because this would turn out to be a fairly good amount of money. And they could settle it and save, in one case, 50%, in another case, 20%, and they would be in tremendous shape. And master didn't care, because it made him look better. Master was still getting exactly what he was owed from the creditor, and it even looked like the master was being gracious. So it was sort of a win-win all the way around. And that's why the master of the estate here says that the children of this world are wise, and oftentimes wiser than the children of light, and they know how to make things happen. But the point of this is what we find now in this second point of eternal perspective, verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What he's basically saying was the unjust steward invested his money that he had in this exchange into having friends, having good things that would potentially happen to him once he was no longer the steward. And so he was looking at the long perspective. Now, for us, This is investing our resources that we have now instead of holding on to them, looking instead at what it's going to mean for the future, what it's going to mean in eternity, what it's going to mean when it comes to the glory of God and that which is really valuable and that which we will be so thankful for in seeing God work in the lives of others and to see the work of God go on because of our willingness to have a perspective that isn't just here and now. I got to take care of myself. I can't afford to spend time to serve the Lord. I can't afford to give of my means. I've got to hold on to it. I've got to take care of myself. That's the simple lesson of this parable. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, we're not talking about laying up wealth in heaven. We won't need any. That's not the point. We're talking about things that are far valuable, more valuable. What happens in us, the eternal transformation that occurs as we trust God, and then God's ability to use a surrendered vessel to begin to make an eternal impact through our lives, individually and corporately. And so what we're doing is affecting eternity by the decisions we make with what is under our stewardship in our life. Now think about it. Think about how much time we waste when it really comes to eternity. Think about how much of our abilities that we waste and how much of our means we waste. A very wealthy man said, I can wear only one suit at a time, eat one meal at a time, and sleep in only one bed at a time. Beyond all that, my money is a bother. Now, most of us would like to share his bother, you know. But what he meant was there's only a limit to what material things can do. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm able to rejoice when I have more than enough, and I rejoice when I don't have very much at all, because God will meet my need. The issue is, it's not about me, it's about furthering his work. And so it's about investing our lives. I think this is probably, if you want to get right down to it, this is one of my greatest burdens right now for all of us, not just in our church. For myself, for all of us. Right now, we can see what the worldview clash is all about. We can see the open door right now. We also see the great dangers. I think we're awakened to the great need of the hour. But the question is, are believers really going to invest their lives to see God's full work done, or are we going to waste it? Are we going to waste this opportunity? You know, we get to heaven, and we're going to look back at 2020. How are we going to look back at it? That was tough. That was just the beginning, probably, of more troubles than we even know. What an open door, and aren't you thrilled? God did it. God worked. And you got to be part of something, or, wow, what an opportunity. And now that we're looking back at it from eternity, we missed it. We absolutely wasted that stewardship. And oftentimes, that's come across my mind. You know, time just ticks on, even during this kind of time. It's been several months now. What are we doing? How are our priorities changing? What are we learning? How much is really being invested in eternity? It's a good question for all of us. I started preaching in college when I was on ensemble. I think it was my very first year from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I've touched on it here a number of times. And that's the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, in those early years, you preach the things when you only have a few opportunities to preach. Of course, I got to preach a lot when I was on ensemble. But you preach those things that God really stirs you about. And that was a verse that just awakened me to, wow, you know, I could be standing before the judgment seat of Christ before I know it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to give an account of my stewardship. And it isn't going to be that I'm going to sit there and recount everything. All you're going to have to do is look at me with all the humanity taken away, all the cover-up taken away, and what all has God been able to do in my life? Pretty sobering thing, whether it be good or bad. We're not going to be judged for sin there, praise the Lord. It's going to be evident how much was wasted, how much we used for God. How much have we grown? And how much have our lives, our time, our effort, our means been invested in that which will last forever? I remember thinking about some of the great Christians that I knew and how when they'd enter into heaven, so many people would be there because of them. So many lives would have been touched because of them. And I knew that. I was very aware of that kind of thing because as I was traveling on ensemble and preaching, I met person, and I'm not exaggerating, Dr. Jim's talked about it too, person after person after person, they come up and say, I just want to thank you for your father. I was in his church for a couple of years. It changed my life. Right, you know, I only had one evening with your dad, but his concern for me and what God did through him was life-changing, and he's kept up with me. And or I was in your mother's ladies' class. You don't remember me way back, but your mother's life changed my life. I could hardly go to a church without somebody coming up to me. And I thought, you know, what's going to happen when I get to heaven? Is there going to be any of that going on? How much have I invested in eternity? And so this is what this unjust steward did. He began to wake up. He had wasted, and now he was going to make up for it by investing the one set of financial resources that he, you know, sort of had coming to him, and that was this handling fee. And it was a significant amount of money, and he invested it in others so that in the long haul there was blessing. Do you see that? And he is commended for that. And then we get the spiritual perspective, number 3 here tonight, verses 10 and 11. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who, and this is striking, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, folks, this spiritual perspective is that we got to understand what God considers least in our lives. You see, we've got to realize that managing the little bits of time and the resources we have, the decisions that we make, if we do not walk with God and realize that our life is a stewardship and everything about us is God's and that we must be thinking spiritually and we must be thinking how it can impact others for eternity, if we do not have that kind of understanding, then we're going to miss out on the true riches. You know, tomorrow, Monday, you know, Mondays are great. I like Mondays, actually. I love coming off of a Sunday. But Mondays oftentimes are a little bit difficult. But, you know, tomorrow's a really important day if God gives it to us. It's a lot he wants done. Little things you say to your kids, things you invest in your spouse, your time with the Lord, the prayer. Oh, my, things around the world happen because of your prayer. That divine appointment that's right there ready for you, that opportunity to go out and actually follow up after all this prayer and work, and God's got something worked out for you. Each of those little steps, every one of them are very important. And so if we're faithful in that which is least, these little moments, these little twists and turns in the road of our life, if we're faithful there, then God's going to give us the true riches. But if we're unjust, if we're wasteful, if we are self-centered, that was the problem of the unjust steward, then if you're unjust in least, then it's going to come out later that really, as far as God's concerned, you're unjust in the big picture. And that's pretty stirring. C.H. Spurgeon, which we often quote, said to a pastor who preached a sermon after which there was to be a collection. You should preach to our hearts, and then you would get some money. The pastor replied, yes, I think that is very likely, for that is where you keep your money. And that is so true, that the decisions we make in these little areas of life, what we do with our money and how we spend it and what our priorities are, really show us where our heart is. And so we got to ask ourselves, where do we give the best of our effort? How do we plan for the investment of our money? What is most important to us on a regular basis? These are questions that we need to be fairly brutal with ourselves and ask, are we really faithful in these very important junctures on a Monday, on a Tuesday? Are we seeing the long throw? 1 Corinthians 3 is much like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made, there it is, manifest again. It'll be opened up, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, there are going to be many, 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 many believers. They're going to stand at the judgment seat and thank God for their salvation, but there'll be almost nothing else. I don't know, maybe wiping away tears in heaven partially refers to that final time when the Lord allows us to really have to come to grips with our lives. I don't know. Because we're going to be very aware at the end of the millennium of the white throne judgment. And what a reality when folks are cast into that lake of fire that we'll know good and well by then should have been part of our investment. And so this is so, it's encouraging but very striking in verse 11. If you're not faithful, and you notice it says in the unrighteous mammon, it gets right down to our money. In the things of this life, if you're not faithful in realizing you're a steward, that God owns it all, your life, every bit of what you have is the Lord's. If you've not been faithful in that, if you've wasted it on yourselves, if you've been self-centered, then he's not going to commit to you the true riches. That which God considers to be the most valuable, the gold, silver, precious stones, that which will last for eternity. Oh, that's why the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And folks, in America, we do live with what people around the world and throughout history would consider almost a heavenly existence because of all that we have. We know better, but that's how they look at it. We've been pretty satisfied. And honestly, how valuable is the true riches? And so he said, I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to give you that which is going to last. I'm not going to give you that throughout eternity. Folks, I don't know how it's all going to work. But when we get into the millennium, there are going to be differences in those who really get to serve the Lord and have the privileges and those that don't. If you've been faithful here, you'll be faithful there. And there is going to be a difference. And again, I don't understand how all that's going to be, but some are going to be very much more like the Lord Jesus than others. We'll all be cleansed. We'll all be perfect in that sense. But there is going to be that. Abraham will be Abraham. You'll be able to look at him and say, there's a man of faith. There are things that are genuine, true riches. And so we're all here tonight as stewards of the issues at hand in 2020. We are stewards of being in America right at this time. This is God's privilege to us. He has given us life, breath, strength. He has put us right in the middle of what could be some of the greatest harvest times in the history of the world. Stewards. Ability to take our life and see something really happen with it. But we've got to have, as this steward here finally awakened, he needed to invest what he thought was his, invest it so that there would be blessing in the future. And for us, the picture is, we've got to wake up that it's going to take a sacrificial investment of our life and everything we have if we truly want to see God work. I don't know how to say it. The Holy Spirit has to put it in our hearts. But I'm telling you, until we see a new level of sacrificial Christianity, we're not going to be able to look back and say, praise the Lord for 2020 and all that's followed. And we've seen the Lord work. He's given us great riches. He's allowed us to be part of something that's lasting for eternity. This is glorious. But instead, it'd be very easy for us to waste and not wake up to what needs to be done. And again, look at that word, faithful. If you have not, therefore, verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If we can't trust him with our giving, if we can't trust him with our lives, if we can't trust him with our priorities, then we're going to miss out on what really matters. You know, God can give us that eternal perspective. Folks, we're going to live billions of years. Isn't that amazing? This is but a little speck of time. But never will it ever be like this right now. Right now, our Master has given us enormous opportunity. He's given us just great privileges to steward for him. And oh, we don't want to look back and say, I wasted it. And instead, we need to look back and say, what a privilege. God helped me and I invested my life. And look at the true riches. Look at the people that are in heaven. Look at the lives that have been changed. And you'll enjoy that for eternity. God wants us to be genuine stewards. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer.